I'm going to have you turn, if you have your Bibles or your tablets or whatever your resource is. We're going to go with Matthew's account today, Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. These verses, unless you read a different translation, they say the same thing every year, and every year and all over the country this morning, Christian churches are referencing this and other verses in the other Gospels like it. But it's a very, very precious passage that we're about to read. So I'll read it. This is from the King James Version, but if you'd like to read along, we'll just go ahead from here. Now, when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you say the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them." All of this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes in the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. All the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Let's pray. Father, we are more than grateful for what Jesus did here, what we celebrate here, what we recognize here, and this season that in our country and in our culture that we pay attention. We pay attention to the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord. Make it fresh to us today, Lord, that we can, in a more deeper way, more sensitive way, understand your heart, your love, and your passion for the lost. We ask your blessing on your word. We know that it won't return void, but it'll do exactly what you intended to do today. In your name we pray. Amen. As I studied this, there are some people, some theologians who believe that Pilate also was entering the city on the other side of the city. I can't confirm that. There are some people, there's some question there for sure. But I'm just thinking that, wondering what kind of an entrance he made. Was he probably elevated on the shoulders of slaves? He probably had by command and for anybody who bothered to show up. But that's the part that concerns me, because it kind of sounds like everybody was on the other side of the city. So it might have irked him a little. And the question that the scripture says that most of the city asked him, "Who is this? What's going on here?" And it was a celebration that was unplanned, only and except for the Father and the Son knew it. I mean, it sounds like people were just, rather than having jewels and things that they normally would have had to present to royalty, because they were seeing what they believed to be their king coming, they just grabbed what was available at the time: branches of trees, shirts on their backs, wraps on their head, whatever, all kinds of clothes, everything to make the way for him. Not the grandest of entrances, riding on a mule. And I don't think I've ever heard one that was quiet. Think about it. Here comes the king of, well, what they thought would be the king of their government of their time, but it was even more than that. On a donkey, probably yelping, probably not the most disciplined. We tend to think of these Bible stories like we glamorize them a little bit. Like when Jesus was born, he never cried. donkeys never made noise. You know, everything was just so. They didn't even have running water, folks. Everything was totally inconvenient for them. But when the king came, they were ready and prepared to give whatever it was they could lay their hands on to lay before him, to recognize. But that's so true for us today. First fresh thing that came to me is the Lord says, when I tell you to come just as you are, to come, don't try to clean it up. Don't try to look or develop things out of your own making to present to him. I just want you. Just grab what you can of you and come to me. And come to me. And I'm probably as guilty as anyone who's ever done it that I'm the kind of guy that likes to put the soup cans in a row, front to back, side to side, name this way. The one in the back is the newest, the one in the front the oldest, and you slide them that way. It's just the way I am. But so to come to Jesus just as I am, the tendency is I need to clean up a little bit. The king's coming. I got to be ready for him. And I've been in churches and meetings, and perhaps you have too, where the thought was, I think when we come to church or when we come to Christ, we should be dressed just so. We should give him our very, very best. We should make the effort. And certainly there's a truth in that. But do you know what your very best is? It's you. It's me and you. And everything else is stuff. Everything else means nothing when compared to you and your soul. And not just you, but those around us, those with whom we work, with whom we live, with whom we love. Today, Christians around the world are celebrating Jesus' entry into the city. We call it Palm Sunday because the crowd welcomed him by spreading palm branches in his path. Those who greeted him were convinced he was the Messiah or the Anointed One, sent by God to establish his kingdom in the earth. But wow, what a difference a week makes. What a difference a week makes. Because many of these people who were shouting Hosanna to the top of their lungs were shouting something different a week later. And not just, oh, tell that man to shut up. We don't want to hear him anymore. Oh, we're uncomfortable with him being here. Get rid of him. They were saying, crucify him. And instead of hands raised like this, I see hands raised like this. Within a week. New lesson number two. How fickle we are. How quickly we can change. Even with things that we are passionate about. Things we believe in. Things we know to be true. We can be swayed just like that. And never have we lived in my tiny short life, from what I know of history, never have we lived in a time where I have seen the entire world respond to a command just like that when they told us to put on our masks. Because they pretty much said, you'll die if you don't. And I would say if you could measure it within hours, and I don't know those numbers, but I wonder how many hours it took for every human alive on the planet that had the ability to hear. I wonder how long it took the whole world to hear that and to respond to it. Less than a week, for sure. We also live in a time where there's more gates than just the main gate where Jesus is coming. There's a lot of other gates in our lives, where there's all kinds of things that are come rushing in, commanding our attention, commanding our worship, commanding our time, commanding our effort. And the value that we're deceived whenever we pay attention to those things, that just will go away when we die anyway. All the only thing it does is take our attention away from the one gate, the one person, the one entry, the one thing. Well, one thing in our life, our salvation and our God and our Jesus. Everything else is noise. Everything else is distraction. They may have value and importance on certain things, to certain checkbooks, to certain appointments, but they're all and can all be distractions from the King. And it's almost like, well, I'm not going to just throw everything down here. Excuse me, Lord, I have to pay attention to this over here. I know that Jesus came and loved us, died for our sins, and rose from the dead. Amen. Let's go. And we hear that so often as Christians. A lot of people don't hear it, but that's our lifestyle. That's what we hear, even those among us here. I'm not saying we become callous to it. We certainly become used to hearing it. And the thing I love about our church here, we take communion every week, so we're put in remembrance every week that He died for our sins. His blood was shed for us so that our blood didn't have to be shed. So we are in remembrance of that of every week. But my, oh my, the kind of attention that would really benefit each of us to pay to this thing that we celebrate called Easter. We've compressed and compacted it. And I'm not criticizing it in any way because I love this time of the year. The end is better than the beginning of it. Resurrection is always better than anything else before it. But we compressed and compacted it in and put it in its place on the shelf of our life. It's this time of year. Here's Easter. Here's how we should think. Here's what we should do. Praise you, Lord. We're sincere. Thank you so much. Amen. Let's move on to May. We're not callous about that. But what I'm saying is, in our heart, that fresh touch that Lanny Wolf from years ago, he used to sing a song, Lord, you know I need a brand new touch. And that brand new touch isn't a different touch. It's the same touch, just a refreshing that Jesus died for us. He rose from the dead for us. He ascended to heaven for us. And He sat down at the right hand of the Father for us. And before all that, though, He had to come through a gate into a city, really to expose, as much as anything else that His entrance into the city did, it exposes the true nature, I think, lesson number three for me in this, of all of humanity, about how much we can believe in something so strong and be so fickle that a week later we're different. Not just a little different. This is our King. We want Him dead within a week. And they didn't even have billboards in those days to distract people. They didn't have radio or the internet or CNN or Fox News or YouTube or all these things that can come in that can distract us and change our mind and put things in our mind and we feed it into our spirit. And so I pray as I think that, Lord, when Jesus came in and all the people, the women, the men, the children, that were there, that were so passionate about Him, that so much believed Him, and all of them didn't turn. There were many people when Jesus was brought before the authorities and He was tried and convicted unjustly and put to death. There were still people who loved Jesus when that happened, but without any question, many of them were the same people. And my prayer is, Lord, I don't want to be one of those people. Have I been one of those people? Lesson four, yes, you have. Yes, you have. Now, what I wanted to hear when I prayed that prayer is I wanted to get a proverbial pat on the head and say, Kurt, you're fine. You're paying attention to these things, and you're okay. But true to it, as my heart always cries, Lord, I want not just that brand new touch, but I want to create in me a clean heart, God. And so many things, if you pray that prayer, He will answer that prayer. And He will put things into your consciousness that maybe we're not even thinking of. Ways that we do things, attitudes that we have, ways we feel about people, perhaps unforgiveness. When you pray, Lord, clean my heart. What is it, Lord, you're coming into this kingdom of my life and I've welcomed you. What is it here that you can, that I can be for you and do for you so I don't turn on you in a week and say crucify? And you know what? We don't do it that way, but here's how we do it. When we deny him, in many senses, we crucify him over again. Now, he can't be crucified more than once and pay for our sins. That's already happened. But when we commit sin, when we fail, many times it's you think, well, do I feel God's with me now? I used to grow up thinking this, folks. I used to think this. And maybe some people here do think this. I'm not sure. But this powerful thing that God has done to save the human race, to become a human being through the form of and in his own son, and came here and lived and taught us and loved us and died in our place. And he didn't just give up his life. Did you know he loved your life more than his? But here's another thing, another new layer I learned. He loved your eternal life more than his. When he died on the cross, that was supposed to be, and in God the Father's eyes, an eternal death. The wages of sin is death. And if he paid the price in full, he paid it spirit, soul, body, period. And he loved you and me and our life more than his own. But because of his righteousness, because of his sinless nature. It's such a wonderful thing that God did. Hell couldn't hold him. Hell didn't own him. And going into that place, he delivered, being delivered there himself, that was another entrance. Lesson 6, another entrance was his entrance into that area itself. But suddenly when he was there and all of death was paid for in full, all of sin was paid for in full because it was all dead and in hell there, he had the keys of life himself. He himself didn't sin. He himself was pure. And he was able for the only time ever to take command back from death. And I like to think of it this way. Resurrection Sunday is when death died for us. When the power of death was put down forever. Now, here in the physical, we still engage that. Our bodies are still doing what they do. But let me assure you 100% on the authority of this man who rode this donkey into this village. The record's clean for you. White as snow. And your sin and my sin has been paid for. And not just paid for a little bit, paid for it forever. Paid for forever. But I always would think, if I love the Lord and worship the Lord much like those people who welcomed him in, that if I messed up one time, well, I'm done for. If I die now, I know I'm going to go to hell because I messed up. And I said, Lord, what's up with that? I begin to think that your mind gets off into things that there aren't scriptural. That's why we need to study deeply into the Word. I'm not saying it's okay to commit sin or to commit wrong. I'm not saying that at all. We should always try to walk in the best, live like Christ, walk in the Spirit, and don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. All that stuff. The Word even tells us these things that I write to you, little children, young ones, that you don't sin, but if you do. And some translations interpret that, but when you do, you have an advocate, a perpetual intermediate intercessor in Jesus Christ the righteous that covers you and has covered your sins. You need to confess it and move on. And I've often thought this, for all the work and the mighty things that God did to save us, what does it think of me that I could just do that and discount it all? I don't want to do anything that would discount it. Nothing. And those people that were saying Hosanna, when they were saying it, they didn't want to do it either. But what was it between that time when he entered and the time that he died, what must have been going on in the mind of those people? All those people had every person had a little different situation from the other person. They all had Rome to deal with and that kind of oppression and so forth. But they were genuinely hungry, genuinely excited. The prospect of the newness, their king is here. Boy, now it's going to all get fixed. And somehow it went downhill from there that week. So much so that it came, and this was, God knew all of this. God planned all of this. It came to the point, it came to the head, it came to the completion of the plan. And thank God that it did. But we need to come to that realization, folks, and we need to think more and more about it on a daily basis. The price was paid for us. And what a wonderful thing it was, because the pain Jesus went through, the suffering, the humiliation, the degradation, and he saw it on both ends. But even when they were putting accolades on him, he never swallowed that up. He never let it lift him up. He always stayed humble. That was the reason he came in on a donkey. It demonstrated humility. It demonstrated all the things that we need to become, another lesson, in order so people can see Christ in us. Now, here's what came to my mind last week as Pastor Tim was preaching, and I had no idea how it would tie into here. He was preaching on the mind last week. And there's a scripture that came to my mind. It said, let me see if I can find it here. In Philippians 2, it says, talking about Jesus here, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, and humbled himself, and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. I saw this stair step as I studied this, as Pastor Tim was sharing last week, a little different angle of the mind. We need to have the same mind of Christ. We need to renew our mind by studying his word and reading more about how he loves us and so forth. But here's Jesus. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He knew he was God. But being in the form of man, he humbled himself to the point of death, even the worst kind of death. And he died a good way. He went from the highest of the high to the lowest of the low, just like those people who were in the city, we're at the highest of the high. The next week, they're at the lowest of the low. You know what? Humanity is a mess, folks. It's a mess. We elect officials that we love one and we can't stand the other one, and things are good, and then within a matter of hours, things are bad, and back and forth, because that's the best humanity can do. But we get caught up back and forth. You don't even know who to believe or who to trust. Many people apparently don't even know what the truth is. They could say, look at this black piece of paper here. Because I want it to be black. We don't know. Well, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to stay to my point here. Because that's a rabbit hole that could have a lot. But you know how mixed up the world is. A lot more mixed up and a lot more in need than just that crowd in that city that welcomed him in. So I've got just a few more things I want to share about that. I asked the Lord as I was preparing this, or he was preparing me for this. So Lord, what is the thing here that I feel that I haven't seen here yet? That's clear. It's so clear I'm blind to it. What is it there's more to it that you put him on a donkey and send him into the sea? What is it? And here's what it is. Every person you meet, that you your family, friends, neighbors, whomever, they're the city. And we're the representative of Jesus Christ. With every time we engage them, we're coming into their city. When they open their gates up to let us in, we get to step in. And I failed many times in my life. As the Lord's telling me this, I start saying, maybe I want to hold off on that, Lord. I don't know if I'm ready. That request I wanted to understand more? Maybe just give me a little piece of it. No, you don't get a little piece of that. You get it all. And I'm not saying that the people whose lives we interact with, that as with Christ, they worship and put accolades on you and so forth. We give all the glory to God. But we're here in this world to be, maybe we're the only Jesus some people see. Maybe they're not churched. They don't have a church background. You know, there's a lot of people that I know personally that if you say Jesus and love and rapture, they go off into fairyland. They don't know. It's a fairy tale to some people. They don't have a background in church or in religion. They think it's just like anything and everything else. They don't know. We might be their representation coming through the gate of their life to bring Jesus to them. So how do we do that? Well, the Bible says to come boldly before the throne of grace. But he didn't say come boldly to the gate of people's hearts. He said we have to humble ourselves. Esteem others higher than ourselves. We have to love them. Maybe by a decision, maybe by faith, maybe by emotion, maybe not by emotion, but you still have to love them. What's in their best interest? Not mine. And you know, whenever people know that you have their best interest, at least I feel this way, they'll open the gate for you. Maybe they'll peek out first. Who is this? If it's Mike over here, he'd look down at me and say, who is that? But if we can reach out to people and with God's help and the Holy Spirit, and we have him in us, and people open the gates of their heart, and we have the privilege to come in, that part of this scenario can happen every day to every one of us. Are we ready for that? What will we do with that? We don't need their palm things and anything thrown down in front of us. That's already happened once to the master. We need to share that story with them as we can so they can meet him and he can save them. But he's not here in reality. We're here. And the Holy Spirit is in us as a helper to do these things. When he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. All the world isn't some black cloud or gray cloud flowing around. All the world means human beings. People who have ears to hear and broken hearts and cold hearts and mean hearts and bitter hearts. But the human heart is still good ground for the word. It's the best growing place for the word of God to take root and change that life. So when we have the opportunity to get on air, donkey, well, I'm a believer in Christ. I don't have to ride a donkey. Yeah, we know. Humble. Lord, give us mind of humility in the way Jesus was that day. So that as we engage people and they open up the gates of their heart and we see the things of their life and they begin to share a little and then a lot and begin to lay those things down in front of us, letting us know that they need help. Help us to show them you every single time so they can see the end of this walk the way everyone else did, that Jesus died for them. May it be Easter and resurrection every day in the heart of men and women that we meet. Lord, that's the work that you've called us to do, just to simply be the conduit, be the outlet through which you flow from us to others. Father, I thank you for the privilege to be able to share my heart. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would, please. I know that as I was in preparation for this, and I'm thinking it's going to go one way, and every time the Lord would take me a little over here, a little over there, and everything that the Lord shared to me revealed a little more about me. Revealed pride, revealed I don't know what the word would be, being passive, not really engaging and literally caring enough for the lost. It doesn't make me better than anybody else because I'm born again. In fact, it makes me the servant of others. Gives me the privilege to want to come into their life and let them see Jesus in me. I've said this so many times in my life that if I have the privilege to be in a room or in a conversation or anything, when I leave, I'd like them to feel that Jesus was just there, not me. I don't care if they even know my name. But, you know, even I've messed that up a time or two because I thought I was doing it a certain way, doing it a certain way, being a certain way. And I lost the passion of it. I lost the reality of it. I just did it out of habit. I would say things out of habit rather than sincerity. You know, there came times that not only, this is what the Lord revealed to me about me, not only did it do me no good, I wasn't really fulfilling any calling or purpose, but it did nothing for the other, for the soul, for the person I was engaging with. And, of course, I come back in prayer and say, well, Lord, I thought I was doing it. I thought I was doing, being what I was supposed to be. And he comes back to me and he says, let this mind be in you. Yes, you are in Christ, lifted up high above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that's named in this world to come. But you're in this world where everybody else doesn't have that. Lower yourself, humble yourself, get up under them and lift them up and pay attention to that and pray about that and never lose the passion for that. If you're privileged to know that someone's opening the gate of their heart to you and they may do it by coming to you and saying, hey, what's all this Jesus stuff you have? Well, they've swung the gate wide then, friends. Are we ready for that? That might happen in an instant. It might happen over time. That's why Scripture says we need to be instant in season. And out of season, and every other season there may be. But as you're standing here, and if your head bowed, I'm not going to do one of those raise your hand things. That's not what I'm instructed right now. But I would like each one of us to evaluate ourselves, put yourself on the donkey, think about all the people, all of the different gates to the cities that lead to the hearts of people you know. Think on those things. And as people's names come to mind, as real people come to mind, begin to pray for those people. Begin to pray, Lord, help me be sensitive when their gates open to me, when their gates open to you, that I might know that time, that I'll be sensitive that time. I'll be ready for that time so that you can be you through me to them. And they can come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Father, help each and every one of us here as we begin to think and pray on those things. And give us clear mind, clear word to who these people may be. There are many. We're privileged to be in a society, Lord, where we can meet many people, interact with many people, many different ways. Help us also realize, Lord, if the gates aren't open and there appear to be no one home, we can still knock on their door. We can still reach out on purpose to let them know you love them and to show them, demonstrate to them, not just with our words, but with our life and our dedication, that you love them. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.